From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in March of 2020 when a law school professor named Michael Paradis contracted COVID-19. At first, Michael and his wife were just concerned about getting through the next 2 weeks. They dealt with debilitating fatigue, body aches, fever, night sweats. But when Michael started to improve, he noticed another symptom. He couldn't smell anything. Now, when you're sick, you might chalk this up to nasal congestion or some part of a cold or the illness, but Michael soon realized this was something else entirely. Writing for the Atlantic Monthly, Michael explained that his sense of smell has not returned in more than a year now. He writes, quote, "Before COVID-19, I had an unusually acute sense of smell. Perfume, cut grass, even the soap on someone's skin could make my eyes run. I could tell if a specific person had recently been in a room. I never put this quirk to good use by becoming a sommelier or snouting out wild truffles. I thought of my sense of smell, like any other oversensitivity, as more of a nuisance than a talent," end quote. Paradis notes that anosmia, the loss of smell, or parosmia, distortions to the sense of smell, factor in roughly half of all COVID cases. Researchers have not determined exactly why it happens to some, but not all COVID patients. And it's a mystery as to why the sense of smell comes back for some, but not all. Studies have shown that a loss or impairment of smell significantly correlates with depression. And Paradis writes, quote, "It is easy to see why. Without smell, I did not just lose my appreciation for a detail about the world. Life itself assumed something closer to the low-stakes cast of a Zoom call. Seeing the ocean this past fall lost some of its awe without the sea breeze in my nostrils. Winter has been less cozy, and the air somehow colder without the scent of hanging smoke from fireplaces. My daughter's bedroom just feels less like bedtime without its nightly misting of lavender oil," end quote. And that's challenging enough, but then consider the impact of people who need their sense of smell for their livelihoods. 13WAM's Doug Emblidge profiled two people in this circumstance for a recent story, and we've asked him to join us with the folks he helped assemble to better understand anosmia, parosmia, and whether we can retrain our brains and our noses to gain function again. Trying to crack this mystery with our guest this hour. Doug Emblidge, 13WAM News anchor, great work on this, and I'm grateful that you helped us pull together the conversation for this program. Thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here, Evan. Thanks for asking me.
And Tiffany Hilbert is the leader of the Hilbert team at Keller Williams Realty. Tiffany, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kelby Russell is head winemaker at Red Newt Cellars and his own eponymous label and the co-chair of the FLXcursion Conference, which is coming back. Kelby, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
When did you first hear about this story, Doug? I mean, when did this first kind of hit your radar and make you decide you wanted to learn more about it?
Well, I mean, we knew about it, weeks into the pandemic, maybe a month or so, we started to hear that this was a common symptom. But then I started to realize, and we all did, I think we read about it, that you know, a year later, there were some people who had not gotten it back, or even stranger, had gotten back a different sense of smell than the one they lost.
Mm.
So I thought, let's go searching for some. And you know, I called you. I said, do you know any winemakers? That was one of the first professions I thought of that would be profoundly affected by the loss of smell, and you hooked me up with Kelby. And then when we started promoting the fact that we were doing this series, Tiffany reached out and said she had lost her sense of smell and hadn't gotten it back, unlike Kelby. So, you know, I had a couple of folks there along with a doctor to kind of tell us the story. And probably most striking to me is how young the science is and how much we don't know.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. I mean, this is maybe the most mysterious among many COVID mysteries that they still haven't cracked. And listeners, if you've already shared emails, we'll get to those a little bit later in the hour. If you want to share your experience, if you lost a sense of smell, if you've still lost it, if you got it back, if it's different now, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the program connections@wxxi.org, or you can call us 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994. To Doug's point, The Atlantic had a separate piece from Sarah Zhang titled, "You Recovered from COVID-19, Now Your Coffee Smells Like Sewage." It's amazing trying to understand why this happens. But Tiffany Hilbert, I want to start with you here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your COVID experience and, you know, when you kind of realized that it was affecting your sense of smell?
Oh, sure, sure. So we found out we were exposed. We went into quarantine, and my first symptom showed up 8 days later with a fever and being breathless on a walk. And then from there, it just went on to full on, you know, 6 day of fever, 102 between bed and the couch. Me and my husband both had it. I just had it quite a bit worse than he did. And we ordered some Chinese, and we both were eating some hot and sour soup. And we looked at each other. We're like, this is so boring. It has no taste. And it was then where we just both totally lost it at the same time. That was the Monday before Thanksgiving. And then the smell and the taste, I mean, it's been gone ever since.
Is it gone for him as well?
No, he's got his back, but everything tastes and smells completely different to him. I pretty much taste salt. It's almost like the whole front of my tongue is dead. I can only taste things on the very back side of my tongue, along each side, salt and sometimes sweet.
Wow. And when you're smelling something, think of a strong smell like, you know, fresh brewed coffee or a bouquet of flowers just picked. What's that smell like to you?
And absolutely nothing. Here's a scary thing. We have a gas cooktop, and I put a pan of water on there to boil some pasta, and I didn't realize that the light didn't catch. The gas is spewing out. I'm literally in the kitchen, and my husband was outside. He walked in 8 minutes later, and he was freaking out. He's like, oh, my God, what is going on in here? And he walked over, and he saw that the pilot hadn't lit, and there I stood, and I did not smell it. So that just put, like, a whole nother sense of urgency and a little bit of, you know, fear to me, like, oh, my God. If he didn't walk in, what would have happened? Because I could not sense the natural gas. I could not smell it. Nothing.
Do you think about, you know, I mean, not to get sort of macabre here, but I mean, do you think about if there's smoke in the house, if there's a dangerous situation, can I rely on it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, we've had fires in our fireplace all winter, and we've had smoke in the house. And literally, I have said, if my house is going to burn down, I will not smell it. I can take an essential oil of any kind and stick it literally up my nose. My left nostril is completely dead. My right nostril, I might get a faint little tinge of something, but I can't really necessarily tell you what it is.
And, you know, Tiffany, I know someone who had COVID in October. He lost his sense of smell and taste for, you know, maybe 2 weeks. And he describes being on a FaceTime call with a relative in another state, and they didn't believe that he really couldn't taste anything. And he said, I'm going to eat this onion like an apple. And he starts, he told me he got 7 bites into the onion until finally the person on the other end said, okay, I get it. And his own eyes were starting to water and burn from the onion, but he could not taste it. And he said it was like, you know, like a flavorless apple. And to me, I hear that, Tiffany, and the temptation is to sort of think that's funny. But at some point, I imagine what becomes a curiosity ceases to be a curiosity and becomes a real, you know, kind of a problem. How are you dealing with this?
You know, I'm just dealing with it. I mean, what are my alternatives, right? I don't really have any alternatives. I double vaccinated. I'm a big believer in that. I'm hoping that might help. I'm a very positive person. I'm lucky about that. I've only pretty much had a couple down days with this where I've really been really bummed. You know, I just have a really good positive outlook that it's going to come back. I've just had to adjust my life, and especially in my business, I've had to adjust how I go about going to my customers' houses. Because, you know, smell is really important in my business, selling a home. It's one of the first things that you notice when you walk into a property. So I used to have a very, very sensitive sniffer. I could smell, you know, a gas leak in a house, cat, dog, mold, mildew in a basement, and now all of that is gone. So I just always have to have someone with me when I go on to an initial appointment in a property.
I want to ask you, and I want to ask Doug a little bit about what he has learned in talking to an ear, nose, and throat surgeon at the University of Rochester Medical Center who is trying to work with patients like you. Do you have hope, Tiffany, that you can sort of retrain yourself to smell again?
I do. I actually have an appointment with Dr. I think it's Schmale. He was on the program.
Yep.
I'm going to be meeting with him June 16th. And I'm hopeful that, you know, perhaps he's going to have some kind of solution for me. I mean, I'm certainly willing to try anything. You know, you equate smells to so many things in your life, and to not have it, it's a weird void. It's a very strange void.
So Doug, when you met Dr. Schmale, you know, as you mentioned, there's still a lot we don't know. What did you learn from him about what they're trying to do?
Well, it's you know, there's a percentage of people who get the loss of taste and smell. Then there's a percentage of them who get it back, and I don't remember all the numbers, but you know, it's the vast majority get it back, and they get it back within a week or a month or so. And for the rest of them, they're in Tiffany's boat, right? They have this hope that that it's going to come back. The question is, can we retrain that pathway between our nose and our brain? Is some of it lost due to the viral infection, COVID or otherwise, and not regainable? But can you salvage what you have left? So what they're trying is, and it's actually all over YouTube. If you go on YouTube, it's not a thing you have to go to the doctor to continue your therapy. It's physical therapy for the nose. You do it at home. And what they're doing is, and finding some success, roughly half of the people who have long-term loss, if I recall the numbers correctly, are getting some of it back after this smell retraining, olfactory retraining. And what it is, it's essentially they use four basic scents, including rose and eucalyptus and citrus, and there's another one that's escaping me now. But they use these four, and it's repeated for months and months and months, practice. And then they might add something that was familiar or pleasant to you. Maybe it is the smell of coffee or something like that. And essentially, you're just trying to retrain that pathway. And like so many other things that we've talked about, they're not sure how it works or why, but it is showing some promise for some people.
So, Tiffany, I want to read a little bit from this Atlantic piece that I thought was interesting, and I am curious to know if you have experienced any of this. Michael Paradis, who wrote the piece about being more than a year out since he had COVID and still not having any sense of smell, he says there are strange moments when his sense of smell very briefly returns. He writes, quote, adding to the mystery for me, I've more recently gotten a few whiffs of recognizable smells that come and go as quickly as a familiar face in a crowd. When changing one particularly well-filled diaper in the middle of the night, my nose got a hot blast of the unmistakable smell in front of me, but then it vanished. Over Thanksgiving, a similarly fleeting scent of fresh sage brushed up against my nose. On another occasion, I noticed for one happy moment the aroma of pizza baking in the oven, but then it was gone. End quote. That's Michael Paradis in The Atlantic. Have you had anything like that, Tiffany?
Yeah, you know, I brought a banana to my office just about a month ago, and I opened it up, and all of a sudden I could smell it. And I, like, stood up. I had tears in my eyes, and my team was there. I go, oh, my God, you guys, I smell this. Oh, my God. I took a bite. I'm like, holy God, I can taste and smell a banana. Somebody walked in with a bag of Doritos like 10 minutes later. I'm like, hand me that. Ripped it open, stuck my nose in it, and I could taste it. Literally within about an hour, everything was gone again. I've had faint little whiffs of really barely nothing. I mean, you know how potent gas smells when you're out mowing a lawn or you're pumping gas or whatever. I have none of that. Anything that is a scent that's super, super strong, I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing. So it was a fleeting moment.
Yeah, and look, I want to be very careful, Doug Emblidge, when I say this, knowing that I am not a doctor. As much as I think you are one of the smarter people I know, I don't think you're a medical doctor.
Not yet.
But when you hear Tiffany say, I had the smell of a banana, I had these smells for about an hour, when you hear this piece in The Atlantic where all of a sudden it's the aroma of pizza baking in an oven or even a filled diaper and it's like this breakthrough moment, but then it's gone. For me, what that recalls is that, again, I'm sure this is not a perfect parallel, but we all have probably heard stories of people who have, you know, increasing dementia, sometimes Alzheimer's, and sometimes music will snap somebody back. And you will have this moment of lucidity. And I guess all I'm saying is the brain is an amazing thing, because it sounds to me like for Tiffany, like for Michael Paradis, like probably millions of people, it's in there somewhere. It's a question of how do you access it? What is it? And unlike Alzheimer's or dementia in most cases, you know, there may be more time. There may be a way to work to access it. So it's not a perfect parallel, but it just kind of strikes me that the brain's an amazing thing, because somewhere in there is that sense of smell. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, Evan, to that point, one of the things that Dr. mentioned in our interview was the power of memory. And that's why he asked, you know, he mentioned that people who are doing retraining, you know, there's the, you're trying to associate the, you remember how coffee smells, even though you can't smell it. You remember how an onion smells, even though you can't smell it. And he believes, and again, he kept emphasizing, the science is young, they're learning a lot. But he said that the power of memory may play a factor in retraining the smell. So that's why he asked people, in addition to those four scents that they asked people to use for this retraining, that they would also get something that was powerful for them, a powerful memory. To me, coffee would be an obvious one.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. We're going to let Tiffany go in just a few minutes here, and then we're going to get Kelby's story, which I think is also very instructive as to what a lot of people, maybe most people with COVID who lose smell, get some or all of it back at some point. You know, Tiffany is certainly not an outlier. There's many people in her category. But I am curious, Tiffany, when you talk to other people who had COVID, how many went through loss of smell and how many have gotten it back?
Everybody that I've talked to that had COVID, just about everybody lost their taste and smell for a few days, a few weeks. But I don't know anyone else that has completely lost it like myself. You know, it's funny, after we did that piece on Channel 13 with Doug, I had an attorney reach out to me that has have no smell or taste for 6 months. And because of the conversation I had with them, I just started a new support group on Facebook called Tasteless with COVID. Literally, I just rolled it out today, and I'm hoping to be able to connect with other people through Facebook. They're kind of going through the same thing, and maybe we'll be able to kind of share our stories, things that might work, success. And when you're in a deep, dark place, if you're not having a good day, hopefully there's somebody there to kind of bring you back up and, you know, let you know that there's other people out there that are dealing with it, and, you know, maybe help to bring a little hope to people.
Again, I'm not a doctor, but I think that there's going to be a breakthrough for you. I mean, it sounds to me like if you can have these hours where something snaps back, it's in there. And there's amazing people in this community like Dr. Schmale and others who I'm sure will keep working on this. But I do want to ask you, before we let you go, about the taste question of this. So the group that you created on Facebook is called Tasteless with COVID. Is that right?
Yep.
Tasteless
with COVID, yeah.
If listeners want to check it out. So do you essentially eat without pleasure now? Do you eat because you
100%.
Know you eat because you know you should?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I go and grab salt for everything. I put salt on everything because salt is the only thing, you know, that kind of enhances something. So it's more texture. You know, I don't enjoy a lot of the foods that I used to love. So salt has been my big friend. Not that it's the safest thing for me to be, you know, using, but it certainly helps a little bit. But yeah, there's just, you know, you eat only because you have to or you want to, and it's a social thing too, right? I mean, we love to go out to eat, and I still love to do that for the social aspect of it, but I'm not getting the enjoyment out of the actual eating.
When you are entertaining, I mean, I hope maybe we're getting back to entertaining people, especially at house parties, things like that. Does it change what you decide you want to eat or serve?
No, I mean, you know, I like the part that Doug said about memory, because when you are eating something, you're kind of remembering what it tastes like. So you have at least that pleasure in your mind. I don't really change any of that per se. My grocery shopping is a little bit different. I'm trying to eat a little bit healthier, but at the same time, I'm trying to eat everything in front of me because I'm desperately trying to taste anything. So I'm trying things that I never used to eat. You know, I'm just hoping that at some point I'll take a bite of something and it's going to be like some miraculous miracle.
Yeah. So I don't intend to ask this in a sort of a cheeky or flippant way. I am just genuinely curious. So when you say sometimes you're eating things that you never used to eat, is that because you're looking for stronger flavors that might snap back some sort of response? Or is it because you're thinking, hey, I never liked hot peppers before, but I might as well try it. I can't taste it.
Yeah, no, I think it's more because I'm trying to just spike a taste, right? I do put hot sauce on a lot of things. You know, it's just, you're just like, I just have to try it just to see if I'm going to taste it.
Wow. And I know you're going to work with Dr. Schmale on the smell stuff. Have you found anything that indicates there's a way to retrain on the taste side of things?
I have literally nothing. You hear so much more about the smell than you do the taste. I think the two correlate together. So my hope is, if I can get some of that smell back, perhaps it's going to help me get some of the taste back.
Well, listen, wine has always been overpriced, and now you can drink, you know, the cheapest bottles of wine. Exactly.
But I like my tequila, and I prefer to sip on tequila over wine, and, you know, it's like I can't even enjoy a nice little thing of that. So, yeah, you know, you just try different things. And, you know, it's amazing, like fizzy things like pop or, I mean, I used to not drink much of that, but at least it's giving me some kind of texture, some kind of feel on the tongue. So fizzy things, have become a little more of my friend.
Okay. Well, as we let you go, the last thing I'll ask you is, you know, for people who hear about this and they are, you know, kind of fascinated that you're going through this, the tendency may be to ask the more kind of fantastical questions or, but how difficult is this for you? I mean, I don't want to kind of go too dark here, but, how are you doing overall?
Surprisingly, I'm doing great. Like I said, I'm a very positive person, so it hasn't really brought me down. You know, I've had a few moments. I've had a few little cracks, you know, where you just kind of feel sorry for yourself, but I'm not one to like sit in that kind of world because there's too much good out there for me to do that. So I feel I'm pretty positive, and I'm hoping to give that energy to other people that are dealing with it.
Well, it looks like you've got a great team at Keller Williams and the Hilbert team. And if anybody needs to help find that musty smell, you got a whole team who can do the smelling part.
You got it.
I'm sure work is keeping you very busy, and I know you're busy today. You've been generous to give us your time. Good luck to you. I hope you can kind of keep us apprised on this. And I know we're going to talk one day, and you're going to go, it's back. It is amazingly, it's back. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tiffany. Tiffany Hilbert is the leader of the Hilbert team at Keller Williams Realty, dealing with an essentially total loss of smell and taste since right around Thanksgiving when she had COVID. And Doug Embledge is with us from 13 WHAM News. The interesting thing is in our second half hours, we talked to Kelby Russell about he'll say wine isn't overpriced. And I was mostly kidding about that. Kelby makes some of the best wines probably in this country, and that's not an exaggeration. I've got great admiration for him. But, you know, Doug, you were going to talk to Kelby. Tiffany's story ended up coming up a little bit late in your process there, but she said she hasn't met anybody else in her own circle who had COVID and is still missing smell and taste. Far as I can tell, that's not the common end of what people go through with COVID, even when they lose smell and taste. Is that what you're finding?
In terms of
the permanence, yeah.
Yeah, I think the number was somewhere between, around 10% maybe had a long-term loss, and then roughly half of them were finding some success after trying the smell retraining we've talked about.
Yeah, and so here's, again, Doug and I are not doctors, but a listener asked a question about a teenage son who had COVID. It has now been 3 months. The teenage son has no sense of smell 3 months later. He's otherwise healthy. And the family's wondering how much time needs to pass before you can start to assume that that sense of smell might be permanently impacted. I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not sure you do, Doug. But
no, I think the advice that Dr. Schmale gave during our interview was, you know, that you've got to let it go a few weeks to a month, and then if it's still not back, it's the time to consult an ENT, a rhinologist. He's an ENT, ear, nose, and throat surgeon, but he's also has special training in rhinology, the anatomy of the nose, sinuses. And I think that he would say that now is time for that family to try to get in touch with his office at Strong or someone else who does the same thing. And the other thing he pointed out is not all loss of smell is due to COVID. First of all, it can be any virus.
Yep.
COVID seems to be, I think, especially COVID, the virus seems to be especially prone to taking away the sense of smell more than maybe other viruses we get a regular base. And the other thing, it can be very often people come in, they've had COVID, and he recounted to me patients who would say, you know, I've lost my sense of smell. And they said, well, how long has it been gone? And they said, well, maybe 2 years. So it predated the COVID infection. But now they've noticed it more. And so sometimes they'll start looking for things like masses and polyps and things like that and other maybe structural damage to the nose that might be explaining it, and a surgical solution is possible. So people have been losing their sense of smell for other reasons
yep.
for a long time, but COVID has brought it to the forefront.
Right on cue there, Doug. Here's an email from a listener who asked me to keep this anonymous. She writes, Evan, I lost my sense of smell for many months several years ago. But there was no seeming cause. It came back immediately when I was prescribed a single oral dose of an antifungal medication called fluconazole or diflucan for another ailment. Doctor said it was coincidental, but I don't think so. That period of anosmia was so depressing for me, and it was wonderful to get my sense of smell back. Of course, it's probably a different mechanism with COVID, but perhaps worth a try. Again, that listener who asked to remain anonymous is just sharing one anecdote, not a scientific study, not a data point,
right.
Other than the sample size of one. But it's interesting what works for some people. Writing from Vancouver, Canada, Dave says, Evan, as a retired molecular biologist, albeit in the studying of cardiac ion channels trafficking for the most part, I find this not entirely irrelevant. He says, the smells occasionally break through, and that is promising. It should be promising for those who are going through it. He says it either indicates that the receptor cells are still functional, if not fully so, or that the return smell perception is illusory, coming from memory and a person's brain's sleight of hand. I hope it is the former. That's from Dave in Vancouver, Canada. That is such an interesting point, and I actually I flagged something before the program. I'm just going to read this because Dave brings this up. So Michael Paradis in his piece for The Atlantic wrote about phantasmia, not anosmia and not parosmia, phantasmia. He writes, each moment, when he was describing when he had those smell sensations, says each moment was brief enough to make me wonder whether I was just hallucinating from the power of suggestion. Doctors call such hallucinations phantasmia. I had read about how often they accompany parosmia, and knowing that they happen, I was left by these fleeting scents with the same dislocation that you feel when you're not sure if an otherwise clear memory might have actually just been a dream, end quote. I find that fascinating because it's almost a form of placebo. It's almost a response that you're getting that isn't maybe what you think it is, but if you're experiencing it, you're experiencing it. So maybe there's a way to make that, use that memory, right, Doug? I mean, again, we are just casting about in the dark here, but maybe there's a way to use that memory and make that more consistent. I don't know.
It goes to what you were saying earlier about the power of the brain too, and parallels dementia, I think. It is, real quickly on the dementia thing, my mom, who passed in September, had Alzheimer's, and she could remember a lot of things, but not remember a lot of things. She would be very confused about things, but I put her in the car to drive her to the doctors, and I'd put on 40s station on satellite radio, and she would sing all the lyrics without missing a beat. And here was a woman who could remember that she still lived in the house she had lived in for 50, 60 years. So, yeah, so when you're talking about this smell thing and the memory, the power of the memory, that's right in line with what doctor told us for our report the thing that intrigued me more than anything else was how mysterious it all is, that you would get this either this phantom smell, or you would get this smell of coffee that was a different smell of coffee than you had experienced before the virus.
Yeah, exactly. Great work from Doug Emlich on 13 WHAM News that sparked our interest in having this conversation. So let's take our only break, and we'll come back with him and Kelby Russell, who's the head winemaker at Red Newt Cellars. Kelby also owns his own eponymous wine label in the Finger Lakes. He's the co-chair of the FL Excursion Conference, and we'll talk to Kelby about his experience with this. Fascinating stuff on the other side of this break. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, did you see the viral video this week of a 7-year-old youth football player getting leveled in a helmet-to-helmet hit? The kid looked like he was nearly knocked out, and the adults were laughing. Have you seen the videos from Qatar where the World Cup stadiums have been built and people have died? How do you reconcile fandom with what we think are some ethical quandaries? We talk sports fans ethics Friday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and I think the first person I heard of who had COVID and lost a sense of smell was Kelby Russell, who is the head winemaker at Red Newt Cellars on Seneca Lake very early in the pandemic. Kelby, thanks for being on to share your experience. Can you take us through when that happened, where you were when you got COVID? Because I think this was before we were doing much COVID testing. I mean, what was going on at the time?
Yeah, I was just back from London. I was in London showing New York wines to critics and buyers there, kind of expanding the footprint of what are where our wines can be in the world. These are dates that are seared in everyone's memory now. This was March 10th and 11th and 12th. So I kind of got emergency evacuated back to the U.S., kind of a flight brought back on March 13th. I at the time I was concerned. Certainly everything seemed scary and new at that point. So I just stayed home, stayed really quarantined as best as I could. just out of what I thought was an abundance of caution. So 4 days later, I had a fever one night, and, you know, to kind of put everyone back where we were in the pandemic at that point, we called the public health nurse in Ontario County, and their advice was, well, London, it's not on our list of warning spots. You know, we don't have tests anyways. If the fever breaks, you're fine. And the fever broke, and I didn't think much else of it at that point. I stayed home and then just kind of had this curious fact that I lost my sense of smell the next day and out of nowhere, just out of the blue, which was terrifying, but didn't actually make me think anything about COVID because that wasn't a symptom at that point.
That's interesting. So you didn't connect it to COVID necessarily. Did it happen like a light switch, or did you, you know, did you wake up and it was gone? Was it gradual?
For me, it was a light switch. I had woke up the morning after the fever, felt fine, was staying home. Actually, was doing some cleaning around the house just to kind of occupy myself, and noticed within about 10 minutes in the early afternoon that all of a sudden I couldn't smell the lemon cleaner that I was using anymore, or the lemon scented cleaner, right? We all know how pungent these things are. And I was like, well, that's kind of odd. You know, I actually almost assumed that my nose just got burned out a little bit by the chemicals from the cleaner. And then nothing came back.
So once you have determined that, you know, you're not stuffed up, you don't have a cold related to COVID or anything else, that there's something weird going on with your sense of smell, what are you doing to ascertain that you really have nothing? I mean, are you sticking coffee beans up your nose? Are you grabbing wine glasses? Are you grabbing the nearest Riesling and sticking your nose deep in that glass? Like, what are you doing at that moment?
Yeah, I mean, the painful part was definitely the first day when I was trying to see. I kind of thought I might be congested. It almost felt like I was a little congested. I thought, what will help with that? And it's obviously spicy food. So there's a Thai restaurant in Geneva that we like, and they have a level of spiciness called Thai hot that you are foolish to order most of the time. And I thought, well, that sounds like right up the, that'll clear things out and I can, you know, kind of reset. And I couldn't taste it at all. My spouse, Julia, who's also a winemaker, was far less pleased with this decision for dinner because she was able to taste everything and it did not work well for her taste buds. But and then I did the least helpful thing imaginable, which is you just start Googling, trying to figure things out and seeing, you know, you go down these weird rabbit holes. I was actually convinced for a number of days that the allergy spray I had used that same morning that I lost my sense of smell had like suddenly decided to rewire my nose and I couldn't smell anymore.
How long did it take you to connect it to COVID?
Probably a good month, I would say. You know, there was no way of getting tested. It was a week and a half after I lost my sense of smell that the first sort of articles came out, or, you know, these like inklings from British researchers that this seemed to be a symptom of COVID. And I was like, oh, that's odd. You know, it's almost, we had this joke for the longest time, especially around through last summer, that anyone who said they had COVID definitely didn't. And anyone who had been trying to convince themselves they didn't have COVID probably did have it. and that was based off this, because I was convinced I hadn't had it. You know, I was healthy in every other way. And it took kind of the preponderance of evidence. You know, it's it's the only time in my life I've spent trying to huff shampoo in the shower for a week and a half to see what I could smell.
Wow. But your spouse, you assume you and Julia both had COVID, yes?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. But she didn't lose smell or taste at all?
She lost it, but in much more fleeting ways.
Okay.
And for less time.
Wow.
And that was, she was about 5 days behind me.
At what point did you start to think, if this doesn't come back, what am I going to do?
That was probably day three for me. Day one, when it first happened, we've all had colds that do things like this.
Sure, yeah.
And day two, kind of the same. But by day three, the fact that sort of the totality of the loss was really distinct. Usually with a cold, especially in the wine industry, we all have tricks for how to, you know, if you really need to taste something, how to kind of clear your nostrils for at least a few seconds so that you can figure out what's going on in one particular sample. And none of those tricks were working. You know, it was just a total blank out.
Hold on a second. I don't think I know how you do this. Do I want to know how you do this?
Nothing weird. It's usually like ginger tea and things like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Something really strong. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. But that had no effect for you. Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. So it was probably day three of this, like, just complete blank out that the sort of terror started to set in of what is going to, you know, what's the future look like if I can't do my job anymore. You know, it's kind of like I was trying to figure out, like, would I want to do wine marketing? And I was like, no, probably not. Like, that's...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot to take on in just a few days, and I understand why you were going through that. What about your sense of taste?
I was still able to taste, you know, the sorts of like salty and bitter and things like that. Obviously, from a technical standpoint, most of the things we call taste are not actually taste. They're like retronasal aromatics. So those were all still shut down. But like the sort of four basic, or I guess five basic taste sensations, I was okay with.
This is so interesting. I mean, I'm only laughing because you're probably, I'm sure you're correct pointing out technically you're saying you're tasting it, but you're probably smelling it. But this is why for sort of people who are just kind of a little bit into wine or whatever, you know, if you ever hang out with a winemaker, they spend more of their time smelling wine than they do tasting or drinking it. And Kelby is very nice when he's with people who don't put their nose in the glass at all. He might gently say, you know, you might want to smell it first. How important do you view that balance of smell and taste, whether it's wine or otherwise, Kelby?
I mean, with wine, at least for my job, smell is probably 99% of the job.
Wow.
You know, I mean, taste is important, especially if we're talking about the balance point of a wine, but in a very, what we would say a structural sense, so the sort of like acid and tannin and sugar and how those things all work together. So taste is important for that. But even in that case, the relationship between that structure and the flavors that you're getting via what you're smelling is actually the main driver.
So what was the turning point for you? Take me through the story next.
Turning point for me was, and I have to laugh. I think we were talking about how amazing the human brain is. And I think it's also amazing talking to other people who have gone through this, how incredibly similar everyone's story is that I've talked to, even though none of us were communicating about it. And I'm thinking of some wine industry friends I've talked to, and all of us did the exact same thing intuitively, which was we would try and smell coffee every morning, and we would try and smell deodorant or shampoo at night. And kind of like internally benchmark how much we could smell or not based on those two, the factors. But the fact that those over and over again, there's just like this human intuition of like, what should I be able to smell the strongest, and going straight to that. It's, you know, it feels like hearing a broken record when you talk to people who went through this.
And, you know, what is the relief that you experience when it finally breaks? What is that like?
I mean, it was tremendous. I mean, I think probably a week in is when I started to really feel like every morning I was smelling a little bit more of the coffee. It wasn't what I hoped it would be. It wasn't the sort of like light switch back on, which so often with a normal common cold sort of sensation, you wake up one morning and you can smell again. It wasn't quite that, but I was seeing progress, and that started to, you know, like a flood of relief. Frankly, I think that was probably the point I mentioned anything at work. You know, there was a week there where I didn't even want to say anything about it. I mean, not, you know, Dave's spectacular and is a great winemaker, great owner of Red Newt. But that week, you know, there's just this, you don't want to say something that might jeopardize your career. So it was only when I knew that I was on the way back that I mentioned, hey, this is this weird thing that's going on. It seems to be resolving. And then I remember we had just a remarkable dinner probably a week after Julie and I were both back to normal. partially because we were just using up random things in the freezer during the middle of shutdown.
Yep.
And partially because it was like, well, we've got like these two small pieces of foie gras and we've got like this like random tin of like caviar. Like, we might as well just go all out and have, we can taste again. So we should celebrate that. And two, we might as well clear out the freezer.
And it was 100% back? I mean, what you expected or what you remember?
Yeah, for me, it was 100% back, and the same for Julia. So big sigh of relief for that. And no like changes in how we taste either.
So before I read an email from a listener who sends an email for the show and for Doug Emblidge, who is part of the reason we're here, a 13WHAM news anchor who recently covered this story and met Kelby for this, I want to read a little bit about the science here that Sarah Zhang was writing about for The Atlantic on what smell training entails and some of the science behind what's going on here. She writes, quote, many years before the emergence of the novel coronavirus, a German doctor helped develop and standardize smell training for patients who had lost that sense, typically because of head trauma or viral infections. It involves sniffing four essential oils for 20 seconds every day over several months. Some proponents of smell training recommend that patients recall memories associated with each scent, remembering lemon pie while smelling lemon oil, for instance. While supposed cures for smell loss, such as eating a charred orange or poking your forehead while getting flicked in the back of the head, have gone viral on TikTok, smell training is the only scientifically proven intervention for this kind of smell loss. And she goes on to write the following, quote, infection of the support cells may also help explain the parosmia that people find especially distressing. When the smell receptor neurons do finally regenerate after COVID, they have to find their way up the nasal cavity through tiny holes in the base of the skull and finally to the right structures in the olfactory bulb. That is an error-prone process, said Sandeep Robert Datta, a neurobiologist at Harvard. Humans have only 400 distinct smell receptors, but can distinguish potentially 1 trillion different odors. That's because a single molecule can bind to multiple cell receptors, and one recognizable scent can be made up of hundreds of different molecules that together activate a unique combination of receptors. If some receptors are missing or miswired, the brain might get a scrambled signal that results in parosmia. The miswiring normally gets sorted out after several weeks or maybe several months, end quote. That is why, isn't this amazing science? That is why if you get COVID and you lose your sense of smell, there is a chance that it's not coming back at all, though, again, that's rare. There's a chance that when it does come back, it comes back in a way that's kind of scrambled and strange and your coffee smells like sewage. Or it comes back and, like Kelby, they all came right back. I mean, that science is amazing to me. You're a much smarter guy than me, Kelby, but that is amazing to me. Have you been sort of reading up on that? Have you been thinking about what's actually going on in your brain and your skull and your nose?
Oh, yeah. I mean, nonstop, especially through last April and then following it since. There's also a great hidden group on Facebook for New York winemakers and Cornell, some of the Cornell professors post kind of breaking research as it comes out, just trying to make sense of it. You know, we're also intimately aware of how our noses work, I think, as winemakers. And it's like anything else in life. The more you know about something, the more you realize we don't know. And that's certainly how I've always understood my sense of smell, and even more so now.
Well, Kelby, I'm glad Sarah Zhang's piece put some numbers to some of this stuff, because I thought it was so interesting that we've got 400 distinct smell receptors, but we can distinguish potentially 1 trillion different odors or smells. And I know that wine tasting, that wine, you know, sort of when you're with people who are sort of into it, it can seem pedantic. And I'm sure I've never been pedantic, not me, but I'm sure it can happen. The interesting thing for me is some people are just fibbing and they're going, oh, yes, this has aromas of, you know, of bright burnt orange and anger and communist Cuba. Whereas some people will say, you know, they'll get very detailed and they're not making it up. It is very much, you know, kind of a way of identifying some of these many, many, many different odors and smells. And I'm curious if you could just kind of give us your thoughts about the next time we are not taking for granted our sense of smell, and we've got it in a wine glass because some of those different descriptions of wine, those are real, and there's different esters in wine, and they're giving us a lot to work with if we are able to smell. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and I think the number one thing with smelling wine is that not to be too hard on yourself. You know, it's like anything else. You have to train yourself. I think that's the thing. Anyone who's in the wine industry has already trained their nose at some point and trained themselves how to smell and how to differentiate smells in a really rigorous way. Regardless of whether they're winemaking or in a restaurant or a critic, and that understanding doesn't come naturally. I mean, some people are better at smelling than others, but what it really comes down to is practice and just taking the time to put words to what you're smelling and not being afraid to say something that might sound silly to someone else if it's real to you. I mean, so long as the only one that I've ever thought was absolutely crazy was a magazine that referred to a Chardonnay as smelling like a neutron star. And that one I had no patience for.
a neutron star.
Yeah.
But a neutron star.
They possessed a knowledge of how fission and fusion works in the universe that I just do not, I guess.
Well, look, you could be Kelby Russell, you could be Tricia Renshaw, you could be these people who have this amazing talent that is inherent and that they can describe wines beautifully. Or, you know, look, you could be the insufferable Doug Emblidge, you know, who's always just trying to convince me I'm wrong. I'm kidding, Douglas. but in a weird way, Doug, doesn't this kind of tie so many of those things together? I mean, if you're at all interested in wine, what people are dealing with is amazing when you look at the science of it. To me, anyway, when you think about all of the little things that are making up what works in our brains and in our noses.
It really does. And I've tasted wine with you, or to doing it with Kelby sometimes. But I'm a spectator when that happens, for the most part, and also very influenced by what other people tell me something smells like.
Yeah.
But when you understand though what is going on in the brain, you do understand why there are some people who have just either natural talent or they have honed a skill that you don't have, and that is to differentiate things that most of us would probably group in a big group, and they're able to hone in on something very specific. But, you know, as I think of people who've lost that sense of smell, and what Kelby said in the piece we did that I thought was maybe my biggest takeaway, and I learned so much from his experience. My biggest takeaway was he kept saying it's not just about – in fact, it's very, very little about me being a winemaker. It's about enjoyment of life and how our nose helps us – experience world, how it helps interact with humans over meal or whatever it is. And he kept emphasizing that, and I think he would still feel the same way, sure, that losing about depression. We talked about the safety issue of it, but it really is just about, you know, the fullness of life.
Well, here's Scott Benjamin, our friend who's the president and CEO of the Charles Settlement House, who emails to say, Evan, I had a relatively mild case of COVID in April of 2020 before we all heard the stories about the loss of taste and smell. At the time, I didn't think much about it because I didn't entirely lose taste and smell, but everything was dulled and different. Over a year later, that continues. My doctor also recently talked to me about the retraining idea. I always loved the smell of making coffee. Now it smells like the coffee pot has burned. Many foods are just more bland than before COVID. I love the variety of topics related to COVID you cover, and best to you and Doug for bringing this up today. Good luck to you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, Scott is not the only one who emailed asking this hour if you can have a permanent or semi-permanent partial loss of smell or taste, not full like Tiffany Hilbert. And the answer is it looks like yes. And so maybe people like Scott can use the services of doctors who can retrain. Before the hour's up, I want to ask Kelby to tell you what's coming up in July. The FL Excursion Conference is coming, and you want to talk about needing your smell and taste. Kelby's got it back, and they're hoping to have a big celebration. What's coming? What are you guys planning here? You got about 90 seconds. Go ahead, Kelby.
Yeah, we're going to have as much of the Riesling world as we can have in person, and then people dialing in from afar, based right in downtown Geneva at the Smith Opera House, so we can do some nice social distancing in there. You know, we're looking forward to the wine world is such a social world. People love talking to each other, love meeting, love talking about wine. And we haven't been able to do that like so many of us. So the Finger Lakes were well positioned to be one of those first coming back events as we're slowly coming out of COVID. And we're excited to be able to just, you know, the science is there for people who are vaccinated. We're looking forward to actually having a gathering again.
And when will that be?
July 17th and 18th, Saturday and Sunday, are the big sort of public events. Get a chance to taste with winemakers calling in from around the world, showcasing what they do. Some fun food and wine events, food or wine dinners around Geneva. And maybe up in Rochester as well. We'll see what we can swing.
All right. And I know we'll talk sooner to that. Are you online for people they can check out the schedule, Kelby?
Yes. So we're on FLExcursion.com. You'll also see us on Instagram. We're actually putting up our Save the Date stuff as I speak and a first agenda. So it's a big day.
And real quick, what about a rosé soiree? You think that's going to come back?
It'll come back, not this year. Early June seemed a little too soon to push it.
All right. Well, I hope sometime. That's always such a wonderful event in Geneva. Geneva's got such wonderful places, and I know you're excited to see people in person. And I'm glad that you're doing well. And here's to everybody who's had COVID, who's dealing with this in some fashion. We hope you're all on the road to recovery. Kelby Russell, head winemaker at Red Newt Cellars and his own eponymous label and co-chair of the FL Excursion Conference. Thanks, Kelby. I know we'll talk soon.
Yep, thank you. Thanks to Doug as well.
And Doug, thank you, my friend. 13 WHAM News Anchor. You can check out Doug's piece that he did and share it, because I think this will connect people who need it. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Evan. Appreciate it.
Wonderful stuff. Our thanks to Rob Braden, engineer, Emma Ray Stein, Megan Mack, Evan Dawson, saying thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.